So ever since I was a little boy, I have hated the dentist. And when I say hate, I mean I have hated the dentist. Now, I know a lot of people hate the dentist, right? There's a lot of people that hate the dentist, right? Now, every once in a while, I come across somebody who doesn't hate the dentist. And my first thought is, like, do you also like having your fingernails ripped off one at a time and listening to Nickelback for 45 straight minutes? Like, are you psycho? How can you possibly like the dentist, right? The scraping, they take that tool of instrument of torture and you jam it in your mouth for 30 straight minutes, right? But for me, I actually have a really unique, special reason why I hate the dentist more than your average normal person. You see, ever since I was a tiny little boy, I have had the tiniest mouth opening that you have ever seen. And those that know me well, this is kind of a funny, comical thing. It's a thing that people know about me. I have very tight cheeks, tight lips, right? And it's very hard for the dentist to get in there to do anything. And so 5 minutes into the dentist, my dentist appointment, it's torture. My jaw is exhausted because I'm working so hard to keep my mouth open so that they can do whatever they need to do. Now, not long ago, we switched dentists. We moved a couple of years ago, and we had to switch dentists. And inevitably, every time I go to a new dentist, it's the same thing. It's like, I almost wonder after they kind of get there and start looking in my mouth if they're not going to, like, call all the rest of the dental hygienists or, hey, guys, you got to come see this. Look at this thing, right? And so every single time I go to a new dentist, it's the same thing. Wow, you have a really tiny mouth. You have really tight cheeks. I've never seen this before. And so I'm at the dentist a few weeks ago, and I've got a new dental hygienist. And the dental hygienist does her thing, and the dentist always comes in at the end. You guys know this, right? If you've been to the dentist before, they come in to check your teeth. And I mean, I've been to this lady now multiple times, and she says to me, once again, wow, you have really, I just can't get over how tight your cheeks are. And the dental hygienist, I don't know where this came from, but she looks at me and she says, you know, back in the old days, you know how like they used to name people like tribal names? They would have called you Justin Tight Cheeks. And that was funny. But then what I said was like, I don't know what happened, what I was thinking. Like sometimes things just come out and I wish I could grab them and pull them back. And I said, well, you know, that could go a couple of different ways. And then I immediately thought, did I just make my dental hygienist think about my... And I think I did. And now I probably just did it again. Justin Tight Cheeks. Listen, True North family, please don't call me that moving forward. Because that was my worst nightmare, sharing this story. From now on, for the rest of time, my people are going to be like, what's up, Justin Tight Cheeks? But it got me thinking about something. As things often do, I got an odd mind, I guess. It got me thinking about the importance of names. You know, for thousands of years, names were vitally important. You were given a name based on who you were. It had significance. It had meaning. Like nowadays, people just Google it. They pick off a top 10 list, right? But back in the day, names had an incredible significance. And as we think about Christmas 2023, maybe I don't know how many Christmases you've experienced. I've experienced a lot now at this point. And what our culture wants us to believe is Christmas is about gifts. Christmas is about a magical feeling. Christmas is about family. And while family is important and absolutely we want to connect with our family, Christmas isn't about any of those things. Christmas is about a name. It's about a name. The most important name that has ever been. A name that, when we fully understand it, will transform who we are. Not only will it transform who we are, it will change our understanding of who God is. And on this Christmas 2023, that's what I want to talk about. for just a few minutes. I want to talk about that name. And so if you'll join with me this evening, we're going to go to a passage of scripture found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open with me there. But if you don't, we will put the words up on the screen for you. This is the story of how Jesus' birth came to pass and who Jesus was going to be. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I think most of us, even if you've never been inside a church before in your life, have heard the name Jesus. We've heard that name. It's the most famous name that has ever been. He is the most famous person who has ever existed. No matter where you go around the world, people have heard the name Jesus. And it is a special name, and it is an important name. But I think sometimes we forget that Jesus has two names. And it's that second name that I want to focus on for a minute. The name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. And I cannot state this evening, I cannot overstate the significance of what that name means. God with us. I want to break that down for a second. Three parts, each of them so unbelievably important tonight. First and foremost, he is God with us. He is God. This Jesus, this Christ who came into the world to be our Savior, is more than just a man. He is the God of the universe. The one who spoke the world and all creation into existence, high and exalted, perfect, righteous, holy in every possible way, good in every possible way. He is God. And he is the one who was prophesied about for hundreds and hundreds of years. Matthew wants us to see that. He gives us this prophecy in verse 23. He says what? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Isaiah 7:14, this is what the prophet Isaiah says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. 700 plus years before Jesus ever came on to the scene, God knew. He knew. Why? How? How's that possible? Because he's God. There is no other explanation. And there are hundreds and hundreds more prophecies about Jesus Christ, about his birth, about who he would be. And yet, here's what's fascinating to me, and honestly, why I've dedicated my life to telling people about who Jesus is. It amazes me how many people still question whether or not he's God. And tonight I want you to see this. More than anything, I want you to see this. There is so much evidence that Jesus Christ was more than a man, more than a prophet, more than just a good teacher. No, he is God. He is God. And some of you, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting here and you're wondering, how can I believe that? How can I trust that? How can I know that this Jesus really is God? How do I know there's even a God at all? And it would take the next 2 hours for me to go through the litany of evidence that there is. I challenge you and I encourage you to go seek that out for yourself. Explore that for yourself. But if I can just give you one thing tonight that I think, for me, this says it all. That the people closest to Jesus believed he was God. Now that might seem like a simple thing, but think about that for a second. What would it take for you to get your family to believe you're God? Yeah, I don't think so, right? My family knows how flawed I am, how imperfect I am, how far short I fall of being anywhere close to God-like. And yet here's what Jesus Christ did in a few short years, 3 years of ministry. He convinced 12 young men that he was God, died on a cross, rose again, and sent them out to proclaim the message that he was, in fact, God, and that people should repent and turn to him because he is the Savior of the world. Now, if he wasn't actually God, if he didn't actually rise from the dead, let me ask you something. Would you keep up the charade? Would you be willing to give up your life, your very life, to continue to proclaim that message? Because that is exactly what happened to all but one of those disciples. They were martyred and killed for proclaiming the name of Jesus. 2,000 years later, there are more people that know the name of Jesus than any other name that has ever existed. There are more people who claim to be his follower than any other religion in the world. The evidence is all around us. He is God. And if you're here tonight and you've never believed that, more than anything, that's the start. That's what I want you to see. He is God. But I also want us to see this. He is not just God. Because here's the truth. If he's just God and he's not with us, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, does it? Because I don't know about you, maybe you have felt this way before. There was a time when I felt this way. Even if there is a God, I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if he actually cares about me. I don't know if he loves me. I see so much devastation in the world. If he's just God and he's this cold, distant being that I cannot understand or connect with in any way, and it doesn't mean anything. But if he's God with us, oh, it changes everything. It changes everything. And tonight I need you to hear this. He is with us. That's what Christmas means. He is God with us. Us, God with us. Yes, he reigns on high. Yes, he is bigger than we could possibly imagine. But he came, in spite of that, to be with us. Do you know what that word with means? You ever really think about it? It's such a simple word, isn't it? It's a word we use all the time to be with someone. There's a closeness when you think about that word, isn't there? When you are with someone, there's an intimacy. There's a closeness. Right, we understand this, don't we? To truly be with someone is to give them your attention, to show them that you care. We live in a world, don't we, where people sit in a living room together and they're with each other, but they're not really with each other, are they? But to truly be with someone is to connect with them, to connect on a deep, deep level with someone. And I think what we do with God is that we take for granted, those of us who are believers, who are followers of Jesus, I think sometimes we take for granted that we have the opportunity every single day to connect, to be close with the God of the universe. We don't think about this because we didn't live in first century Judea. But for hundreds and thousands of years, you could not be close to God. God was, frankly, terrifying. And there was a reason he was terrifying. He should be terrifying. Because he is the God of the universe who literally spoke the world into existence with a word. And we rebelled against him. We chose not to be in fellowship with him. We broke that fellowship with him. And so for centuries, people were terrified to be in the presence of God. I think of Moses having to hide himself in the cleft of a rock as God went by. He couldn't even look full on at God. And even after that, the Holy Spirit of God, the glow that was on him when he came down from the mountain, he had to veil his face because the power and the might of God was too much for people to handle. They could not be in his presence. You would literally die because there is a separation. There is not a withness. Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. What Jesus does is he allows for us to enter into the presence of the living God with no fear. And I don't know, maybe this is all you've ever felt about God is fear. Am I good enough? What if I don't do all the right things? What if I went to church one day and I said I wanted to follow Jesus, but then on the way home, I died in the car accident. And I'm living in this fear. I don't know. I can't be close. Jesus changes that. He changes everything, right? God alone, if he's just God, he's terrifying. But if he's God with, there is a security that comes with that, with knowing. That power that was so terrifying is now with me and for me because of why? Why? Because of what Jesus Christ ultimately does on the cross. Because he died on the cross to save us. What does the name Jesus mean? He came to save us from our sins. Because Jesus now lives again. If I will put my faith and my hope and my trust in him, I don't ever have to worry about whether I can enter into his presence ever again. Oh, that is an amazing thing. He is God with us. And with that comes access to all that Jesus offers. There's another verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, another prophecy made about who Jesus would be. And I want to read this to us this evening. What a comfort this is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Because he is now with us, we now get to call him Wonderful Counselor. He is our counselor now. Through all of the trials and challenges and decisions that we have to make in this life, we don't go it alone. Our God is not distant. He is not far from us. He is close. He is with us. We have access to that. He's not just our wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He has power for your life. He has power to change things in your life. Do you believe that? That's what God with us means. That's what Christmas is about. Not only that, he's Everlasting Father, it says. We are not just saved, we are adopted into the family of God. We receive all the riches of the inheritance that he has for us. And he is Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Come on, doesn't anybody else want peace? That's what he offers. That's the access that he now gives because he is with us. It means he gets us. He understands us. He understands how we feel, the emotions that we go through, every tear that we have cried, every sorrow that we've had in our life, every traumatic thing that we've experienced. He has experienced it and more. He knows us. He understands us. He's walked our walk. He empathizes with us. He's no longer a distant God. He is a close God. But I want us to see one final thing. He is not just God with. He is God with us. He is God with us. Who is God with? He is with us. And the question we need to know and answer tonight is this. Who is us? Who is that? I think we should look no further than a group of people that we find in the scriptures in the story of Jesus, known simply as the shepherds. When we look at them, we see who us is. It's no coincidence that the angels appeared to these shepherds, these lowly men in culture and society who were looked down upon and seen as nothing, the lowest of the low. He appears to them first. Look what Luke 2, 8 through 11 says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Who is us? It's the shepherds. It's the lonely. It's the lost. It's those who have been left out. It's the least of these. You see, when Jesus came, he came for those who would simply recognize that they don't have it together, that they are the least of these, that they're wanderers. That the reality is, because of my sin, because of my rebellion against God, I am an outcast. But this is the amazing truth of Christmas and the amazing truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. that even though we put ourselves in that position, we rebelled, Jesus simply says this: I'm coming for you. And even though you ran from me, if you will put your faith and your trust in me, I will redeem you. I will restore you. I will give you your hope back, your future back, your inheritance back. I will give it all back. Just like that. That is who Jesus came for. For the ones who've fallen short and know it, can just simply admit that. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He has come. And so I'll close with this. I want us to hear this tonight. I don't know what Christmas has meant to you, but this is what Christmas is about. It is the constant reminder that our God is with us and he is for us. That is what Christmas is. It's the constant reminder that he's with us and he's for us. He is not God against us. He is not God far from us. He is God with us. He is with us. Christmas is about that name, the name Emmanuel. And what that name means for us is this: never, ever again do we ever have to feel as though God has abandoned us. Never again do we have to question whether or not God really loves us. Never again do we have to wonder if God is going to push us away and keep us at arm's length. No, God with us means with us forever. With us in every situation, every circumstance, every trial. He is with us. And what I want for us is not just to live today like that, with that knowledge, with that understanding, but to live every day like that. May we live every single day, every moment, from one day to the next, with that on our mind. That my God is for me, that he is with me. Every day should be a celebration of Christmas. May his constant with us-ness remind us that he is a wonderful counselor, that he is a mighty God, that he is an everlasting Father, that he is Prince of Peace. Don't you want to be reminded of that every day? I do. Every single day. May that motivate our hearts. Church, my church family, those who know Christ, that should motivate our heart to share that news, that good news with everybody we meet. Oh, that's what I want for us. And for those of us who've never put our faith in Jesus, let me say it one more time. He is God with us. He came for you. He came for you. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. Jesus. The one who will save us from our sins. And this is all he asks. Would you simply believe? Would you put your faith in him? Would you trust that he really is who he says he is? And this is the promise, that if you'll do that, I will never leave you again. That's what he says. I will always be with you. That's the message of Christmas. I'm so grateful for him.